Hey, this is Anthony Cirilli, your Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast co-host here on the Believe Podcast Network. We've got a great show coming up for you, but before the show, let's talk about sleep. Studies from Harvard and Johns Hopkins have shown that lack of sleep can lead to depression, diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease. We need 8 hours of sleep. I mean, myself growing up, we didn't always have air conditioning, so I know just how hard it is to sleep when it's really hot. And one of sleep's biggest problems is temperature. It's tough to get a good night's sleep if you're too hot. I want to tell you about the Pod by 8 Sleep. The Pod by 8 Sleep is a high-tech bed designed specifically to help you achieve optimal sleep fitness. It was developed by leading sleep researchers after tracking 43 million hours of sleep. It combines dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking to enhance your rest and recovery. It learns your sleep habits and adjusts the temperature automatically. That means if you like the bed cool and your partner likes the bed warm, now you can have both at the same time in a crazy comfortable bed. Sleep longer and deeper so you wake up refreshed and ready to take on the world. Try the Pod for 100 nights, and if you don't love it, we'll refund your purchase and arrange a free pickup. They already sold out of their first two batches, so they're going fast. For a limited time, get $150, that's 150, off your purchase when you go to 8sleep.com/pro. That's EIGHT sleep.com/pro. 8sleep.com/pro. Hey, welcome to episode 15 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network, Southern California's number one sports podcast network, the only place to the show for every team in Southern California and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? Yep, I'm here across from Husky. How you doing?
Anthony, good, man. I'm a little tired today. Lachlan, our two-year-old, was up all frickin' night, but we're going to battle through.
That can be frustrating, absolutely. Definitely heard from that last ad read we did about that what lack of sleep can do to you, so I feel you there. But we have a great interview on tap for you guys with former Anaheim Duck, Ben Lovejoy. Just a really informative, great interview. I had a good time with it. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, he was great. I thought it was really some good insights about his time in Pittsburgh and Anaheim, and just a sharp guy.
Yeah, I really had a good time. I think you guys will enjoy it. So without further ado, here's Ben Lovejoy.
Happy to finally talk to you, and thanks for agreeing to come on for an interview.
Yeah, my pleasure.
How are things going? How's retired life? How's the family? All that?
Retired life is the best. Hockey was amazing. Like, it was a childhood dream come true, but it was really hard, and I'm psyched to never do it again.
Last year at this time, you were probably wondering if you were going to get sent to another city. How is your mental state doing these days? Just relaxing? What are you up to?
My mental state is the best. I moved to Hanover, New Hampshire, which is where I grew up and you grew up.
Yeah.
It's very cold. It was 1 degree this morning, which I've lived in the Northeast for a while, but I haven't been back in New Hampshire during the winter, and it is significantly colder here. So that's been adjustment, but life is really good. Hockey was a childhood dream come true to play in the NHL. It was the best thing that has ever happened to me, but it was really hard. And I'm really psyched to never do it again. I am a dad. I go to some like soccer mom workouts in the mornings. and this year I'm now the volunteer assistant coach with the Dartmouth College hockey team. So I go to practices and some home games, and it's sort of on my schedule, and I don't travel. It's been fun to be back around, and that's sort of what I'm doing with my life right now.
That sounds like an excellent life. Husky just joined us. He's right over here.
Man, what's up?
How you doing?
Good, man. Doing well, thanks.
Have you guys ever played with or against each other at any point in your careers?
I'm sure we played against each other, but we never played on the same team, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we'll move to college. When you were playing, you played at came out of Deerfield and Cardigan Mountain before that, and then you played at BC. What was it like as a freshman playing college hockey at Boston College before you went to Dartmouth?
I went as an 18-year-old, and I came right from prep school, and I was not ready. I had no idea what I was getting into. I was a talented, skilled player, but I didn't know the game, and I had a lot of learning to do. And I showed up to BC, and I just wasn't ready to play at that level. And was in and out of the lineup. I ended up playing 22 games that year, and just I just really wanted a fresh start. And I sort of talked it over with my parents. They said I could leave, but they basically told me that I could leave, but I had to go to an Ivy League school if I was going to leave a place like BC. So I sort of back channeled through my agent and family friends, and had been in contact with Bob Gaudette, who I knew all growing up in this area. He's the head coach at Dartmouth College, and sort of told him, I would love to come. Like I love the area. I'm ready to, I would, if you'll have me, I'm dying to come. And it wasn't easy. I had to go through a lot of steps, through the Dartmouth admissions process. There isn't much of a back door to get into this place. And I was able to gain admissions, and I sat out my first year at Dartmouth. I pledged a fraternity. I had a blast. I was a real college student. I'd go to practices, but life was good, and it allowed me to sort of regain my confidence, figure out how to be a college student and a hockey player, and it also gave me another 18 months of growing up. I was almost 20 now, starting a college season when I was actually playing versus starting as a young 18-year-old. And I didn't know if hockey would work out, but if it didn't, I would be at Dartmouth. And luckily enough, it ended up working out very well.
That was a pretty good era for Dartmouth hockey too. I mean, we'll get off Dartmouth pretty quickly, but I mean, you guys had a bunch of guys who ended up playing in the NHL. Nick Johnson, Stepniak, I think, was there at the time. You guys, David Jones might have been after you. Hugh Jessamine, did you play with Jessamine?
I did. I played with all those guys. Stepniak started it all. We'd had no NHL players come from Dartmouth. And right out of college, Stepniak sort of made the Blues. And I think he scored 27 goals that year. And all of us in the Dartmouth hockey locker room kind of watched and figured, like, oh, this guy's a good player, but we think we're just as good. And, like, maybe we can do this too. So he was sort of the leader. But then Hugh Jessamine had just been drafted 12th overall. Dave Jones, Nick Johnson, me, Tanner Glass, Grant Lewis, JT Wyman. We had a good chunk of guys playing the NHL, and it was definitely a very good era and a pretty exciting time for Dartmouth.
Nice. So coming out of Dartmouth, what was the transition like into the pros for you? And did you get an opportunity right away, or how did that transition go?
It was difficult. I signed an AHL one-way contract with the Wilkes-Barre Penguins.
Nice.
Of the American League, and I was making $45,000, and I think I was the 14th or 15th defenseman on the organizational depth chart, and probably would have been sent down to the Wheeling Nailers, but Mike Weaver got picked up on waivers when he got sent down by, or put on waivers by Pittsburgh to be sent to Wilkes-Barre. He got picked up by the Florida Panthers. And so I made the team, the Wilkes-Barre team, because of it, as the sixth D man. And I played 96 games that season. I thought I was going to die for a lot of it. I was exhausted. In my three seasons at Dartmouth, I played 93 games. In my first year at Wilkes-Barre, we lost in game six of the Calder Cup Finals. And just had a good year. There was a lot of learning. Pro hockey is so different. Every step you take as a hockey player is so different. But after that season, I sort of turned myself into an NHL prospect in the eyes of the Penguins, the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I just sort of slowly made my way up the depth chart. And 2.5 years later, made the Penguins. And it was pretty awesome.
You must have come into that organization at a real interesting time. I mean, we're both fans of Spittin' Chiclets, and Ryan Whitney, I think, was on the Penguins at that point. But Biz, I think, was on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And then when you got up to play for the big club, playing with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Fleury, Kunitz, some of the older veterans. What was that like?
It was awesome. So, yes, I arrived at my first development camp in the summer, and Paul Bissonnette was sitting next to me in the locker room, and he'd been sort of ostracized in the organization at this point. He has a very big mouth, and now it's made him very lovable, but at the time it was not an endearing quality of his. So I'm sitting next to him in the locker room after the first practice, and Jonathan Bombouli comes and talks to him and just said, where do you see yourself in this organization? And this is my first like experience with pro media, and Biz just opens his mouth and is like, well, I just don't see myself having a place here. And just went off like for a while, and I'm just listening to this like, who? I've never heard of this guy. Who is this? Like, what is going on? So Biz got sent right down. He was told he was told right away. He got sent right down. He was in the Wheeling Nailers for the start of the season. And then like January or February, we were struggling. And as a team, we were a very good team. We ended up losing in the Calder Cup Finals, but they called Biss up, and he had been a defenseman his whole life, and at this point they turned him into forward, and he fought 30 times in the next 28 games and became actually a very big part of our team, and ultimately got hurt in the playoffs and was one of the reasons we may not have won. So I know he gets a hard time for his level of play, but he was an asset at that level as a player and a fighter.
And then when you make it up with the big club, the guys who the household names that we've kind of come to know now, and even back then right away, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, what was it like? They must have still been pretty young. What was it like kind of learning the ropes with them?
It was stressful. It was awesome, but it was stressful. I believe Sid changed the game in a number of ways, but one of the ways he did it was his conditioning and his attention to detail. And all the stories you hear about Sid and how intense he is and how crazy it is are true. And you had to raise your level of play to be able to be on their team, your practice habits, what you ate, what you did in the gym. Like, you had to raise your game to play with Sid, to be a part of his team. And it made us all better. There's a reason that Pittsburgh has been so successful for so long with him, because guys had to come in and be better to be on his team. And it was an honor to play with him, and he made me a better hockey player, and he made everybody in that organization better.
Yeah, that kind of is pretty consistent. You always kind of hear a lot of those type of things when talking about Sid, excuse me. But is there another guy, Like as you kind of went through your development as a pro in that year down in Wilkes-Barre, or in your time at Wilkes-Barre, or your first when you were breaking in with the Penguins, was there a coach or a player that you kind of felt like kind of helped you just kind of especially?
Yeah, there were three guys. It was Brooks Orpik, Paul Martin, and Rob Scuderi. They were guys who were older than I was, but took me under their wing. They taught me how to be a pro, how to play defense, how to survive in the NHL. And they're guys that I owe a ton to. I tried to model my game after things they did, because they were so successful and just great human beings. And those three guys went out of their way to help me, and the guys that I feel like I owe a great deal to.
And when moving ahead a little bit, you get traded to Anaheim after a couple years up and down between Wilkes-Barre and Pittsburgh. It feels like playing for the Ducks really was a big transition in your career. What was that like, getting traded here, and how what ways was that a comfortable place for you?
It was the best thing that could have happened to me. I was so lucky. So for a while behind the scenes, I sort of talked to Ray Shiro about being traded. I hit my ceiling with that organization and that coaching staff, and was going to be the fifth, sixth, seventh defenseman. That was my job. It was awesome to be in the NHL, but I hoped and thought, I didn't know, but I hoped that I could do more if given a fresh set of eyes judging me. So Ray traded me to Anaheim, and I knew nothing about Anaheim. I arrived knowing who Timu Solani was and knowing who some of the guys were, but I'd never met a single player. Got traded, met the team in Dallas, joined them on day one of a 16-day road trip, and it was the best thing that could have happened to me. I played for Bruce, who ultimately I became very close with, and am very grateful for. But I played a ton of minutes, was given a very big role, and got to live in paradise. And we ultimately never won the Stanley Cup with that team, but it was a really good group of people and good group of players, and I will forever love my time that I spent with Anaheim.
I remember you guys, just there were a lot of wins over those stretches and a lot of success. And I was wondering if you could kind of maybe give us an idea of, because I never played for Bruce here. I was here when Randy was here the first go around, and obviously a pretty stark contrast in coaching styles. And I don't know, could you take us inside and maybe give us an idea of a Bruce Boudreau locker room and kind of his coaching style, and just kind of he goes about his business on a daily basis with the guys?
He was the best. He was my favorite guy that I've played for. I am a huge Bruce Boudreau guy, and the thing that I think he does, he puts guys in situations to succeed. He puts guys in roles where they can sort of stay away from holes in their games. He puts guys in fun situations where they can use their assets to be their best. Yeah. And I really felt like he did that for me, and I feel like he did that for a lot of guys. And Bruce has had a ton of success throughout his career, but I feel like he gets labeled as sort of this loose guy who's easy to play for and fun. But his practices were difficult. Like, we worked hard.
Yeah.
We weren't like a lazy team. We didn't ultimately win the Stanley Cup, and we had a team that was good enough to compete, and we did. And we ran into the Kings a couple of times, and ultimately didn't get the job done. And I understand that when that happens, changes are made. But I'm a Bruce guy, and I loved playing for him, and I do think he's a very good coach.
Did he have a drill or anything when you were playing with him in Anaheim where you're just like, you mentioned you guys had hard practice where the team was just like, oh boy, this is going to be rough. Like, we're about to sweat. Anything that he did specifically?
All the time. You see the guy, you don't think that he is about peak performance and conditioning. but we worked really hard. We skated. I skated more for Bruce. Like, we'd have fewer days off with Bruce than I had for any other coach. And I know that that's certainly a Bob Murray thing too. But Bruce made us work. Like, it was not just live in Newport Beach and walk into the Honda Center with flip-flops on and go win games. Like, we worked at it, and it was fun.
Speaking of working and the success you guys had, your D partner when you played a lot here in Anaheim on the top pairing, nonetheless, was Cam Fowler. How was it to play with a guy like that and see him now continue to be such a success on the team and such a big factor?
Love that guy. He's awesome. He is an amazing human being and an incredible hockey player. Just an elite skater. And when I came to the Ducks, I was struggling. Not even struggling. I was just a nobody. I hadn't played a lot of games. I didn't have much confidence. And when I arrived, he was out with a concussion, and he came back 6-7 games into me being there, and we were immediately paired together. And I feel like we complemented each other well, and my job was to play good defense and pass him the puck and try to put us in situations where he could use his skating. But he elevates everybody he played with. He made me look good, and I owe him so much. And I send him Snapchats every once in a while. He is just a very good guy, and I was so lucky to play with him.
The Anaheim roster when you were there was kind of an interesting mix of the current Ducks and some of the vets from their Stanley Cup days. Do you have any good Solani, Perry, Getzlaf, Bozeman, any funny stories from those guys or even the guys who are on the team now that really come to mind?
I don't know. The guy that I think about when I arrived in Anaheim, I didn't know anybody. I'd never met a single guy on the team. It was a lot of young Swedish guys and then sort of an older crew. But I just remember walking in the locker room and Sheldon Surrey being the alpha male. I walked in, his wife, girlfriend, I don't know what she was or what she is now, but she was on the cover of Maxim at the time. And this is before, like, Maxim was still a big deal back then.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sitting there listening to this guy talk, and I vividly remember, like, the first conversation I hear him having. He's explaining to Emerson Edom something about his car, and Emerson is like, Emerson's worried about this, I don't know, $300,000 car. Like, what's the insurance on that? And Shelley just sort of stops him and looks and is like, it's like, bro, when you're rich, you don't worry about insurance. poor people and old people worry about insurance, not when you're rich. and I just listened to this guy talk, and he was the alpha male in the room. I mean, you put him in a room with Tom Brady and Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, like, they're deferring to Sheldon Surrey. So I just, that was sort of the environment that I walked into, and it was a really cool place. And I'm so lucky that I spent time in that room, and that I was so sad when I left.
Yeah. So from there, so was it a trade, that you got, basically traded back to Pittsburgh, or how did that pan out?
I did. I got dealt back to Pittsburgh for Simone Dupre.
Oh, yeah.
Who's still on the payroll, I think. I spent 25 months as a Duck, and it was my favorite time in the NHL. Like, I loved it there. I loved living there. I loved being a Duck. I loved playing for that team and that organization. And I was devastated when I was traded. I was on the ice. We were in Phoenix at a practice rink, the trade deadline day, and trade deadline is 3 o'clock, and 3 o'clock rolls around. So we go on the ice, and we had like a 45-minute practice. I got off the ice, checked my phone, just what you do. I'm a millennial. We check our phones when we get off. And I had 44 text messages and was trying to figure out what was going on. Like, the trade deadline had happened. Like, I wasn't worried. And I got a bunch of little championship emojis from a Pittsburgh restaurant owner who I hadn't talked to in 25 months. And I'm just like trying to figure it out. And I realized that I get traded. So nobody knows. Like, Bob Murray's not around. There's no management around. It's just Bruce. So I know, cause I've got my phone, but we get back on the bus cause we dress and drive in Phoenix, which is ridiculous.
Oh, worse.
And then go back to the rink, and I'm getting undressed, and like, Bruce comes and tells me, and I'm just like, I cried on his shoulder. Like, I was devastated. I was at the time, like, I thought that I'd go to 28 other teams before I'd go back to Pittsburgh. Like, I figured I'd play for KHL teams before I'd go back to Pittsburgh. Like, right. It never crossed my mind. And playing in Anaheim was amazing. Like, I just said, my daughter was 14 months. She had sort of grown up so far in Anaheim. My wife loved it. We loved it. Like, it was a very special place, and I was devastated. I got over it. I turned out to be great. 13 months later, we won the Stanley Cup. Like, it's tough to beat that. But at the time, I was very pissed off and very upset. And it's still something that I mean, I'm over it. I've got a great life right now, but I'm not completely over it. Like, I loved Anaheim. I loved being a Duck, and it was very difficult for me to leave.
It's, I mean, back for a little Hanover, New Hampshire inside baseball. I always think it's interesting. I mean, back when you played your youth hockey in Hanover, we were rocking the Whalers jerseys, but afterwards we had Ducks jerseys. So it was kind of like, you ended up with the Ducks, and I mean, they weren't wearing those old Mighty Ducks jerseys at the time, but I thought it was kind of a little like weird coincidence. But, going back to still your time in Anaheim, what was your favorite moment? There's that story where you broke the record for quickest two consecutive goals by a Ducks defenseman, and if I'm not mistaken, it was right after your daughter was born, correct?
Yeah, it was my only two-goal game of my career. I didn't score a whole lot of goals, so so my daughter was born. I went in in the evening. She was born at 10:44 in the morning, and we played that evening. I'm getting texts from Bruce starting early morning, sort of, hey, no pressure, but let me know if you can go tonight. And ultimately I did. I was exhausted. It was all adrenaline, but I did end up scoring two goals that game. And they were both against Briz.
Oh.
So he walks out. They were consecutive slap shots. I stepped into the, I mean, they should have been saved. They were good shots. They were hard, but they were from pretty far out. Like, my goalie's given those up. I'm not thrilled with him. And so he walks out to get his car, at the valet place. And, the guys tell me, the valet guys tell me that Briz was asking where my car was, cause he's coming. He wanted to go ding it up a little bit. But, that was one of the best days ever. It was something that I'll never forget. And it was just another thing that happened in Anaheim that I will vividly remember forever.
And not to bring up maybe a not so great memory in Anaheim, but I've always been curious about this, that Sharks game. Were you on the Sharks team when there was when Ben fought Joe Pavelski? Was that, or were you not there, or had you already left?
I think I was already gone. Yeah, I think I was gone.
But that Pavelski fight, I mean, in your career, you didn't necessarily shy away from a fight. It looked like you had about one per season, but Pavelski wasn't a big fighter. How did that kind of come about? And during the fight, I remember you kind of motioning to someone, looking up and motioning. What could you explain a little more about what happened in that fight? And then you got injured, obviously.
Yeah, that was sort of the beginning of the end for me, in Anaheim, but we were getting the crap kicked out of us by the Sharks, which happened every once in a while. And there was a scrum later in the game, and Joe Pavelski was mad at me. I don't know why, but he was arguably their best player, and he wanted to fight me, who was not even close to the Ducks' best player. So that's a win in my mind if we're both going to the penalty box. It was one of the most successful fights of my career. I pretty clearly won it, but and there is a very cool picture where it does look like I'm looking at the camera and smiling. It was not on purpose, but then I did break my pinky, and I missed 49 days. Cool. And during that 49 days, Josh Manson got called up and was beginning to turn into Josh Manson, and he's a very good hockey player. And he sort of, he didn't really take my spot, but it sort of pushed me out and pushed me out of the organization. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that was probably the end for me.
When you mentioned how kind of devastated you were when you got traded back to Pittsburgh, but then you get a real good, I guess you call it a pick-me-up, a winning at Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh. Were there lessons you learned with some of those older veterans in Anaheim that you took with you to Pittsburgh that really helped you? Because your second go-around in Pittsburgh was pretty successful.
Of course. Learning how to win is a huge part of winning. And learning how to lose. You realize that there it truly is one goal. And we in Pittsburgh had guys put aside personal success to win a team game. And winning the Stanley Cup that day was the best day of my life. I have three awesome daughters. I had a great marriage, a great wedding to the love of my life, but winning that Stanley Cup that day was better than all of it. It was the best. It is something that I spent my whole life working towards, and it was so cool to raise the Stanley Cup. And from now on, I can tell people that I won the Stanley Cup, and I'm a Stanley Cup winner, and my name's on it. And that is just, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, that's definitely awesome how things played out, and what a career, and kind of just what a great story, the storyline, and kind of a winding road and all the ups and downs, and kind of wasn't easy, and that always kind of makes things a little better. But like now, so do you still, so obviously you're coaching hockey. I know I walked in a little late here, but you're helping out coaching in college. You still watching NHL and following that?
I do. I watch a lot of NHL. I put it on when I'm cooking dinner, and usually watch the first couple periods of a game. I don't catch many Ducks games unless they're on the East Coast. I watched them play the Devils the other night, but the 10 o'clock start time is just too late for me these days. I am the volunteer assistant coach for Dartmouth. I go push pucks during practice and get to know the guys. I'm attending something at the business school at Dartmouth in the spring, just sort of a program to sort of help figure out what's next. And then I've been interviewing and doing some broadcast, or trying to do some broadcasting. I've had a ton of interest, and then once that happens, I've had zero offers. So so I'm not sure how well that's going, but it's definitely something that I'm interested in, and something that I think I could be pretty good at if given the opportunity. So those are sort of the things that I'm doing right now. And I was so lucky to play for so long, but being done and being home and hitting the pillow every night at 10 o'clock has been pretty amazing too.
You sound very comfortable in retirement, but I'm just curious, by any chance, has your agent's phone rang with a 949 or a 714 area code to begin the season, looking for gauging your interest in coming back? Because I know the Ducks have kind of had some needs at defense this season. Not that you would consider it, but did you ever get that request?
I have not. not from the Ducks. I had a bunch of interest during the when I was like, I think June 26th, right before you can sign. I had a bunch of interest those days. Very, very little interest July 1st when you're actually allowed to make offers and sign. So I stuck around until July 9th, and then I decided to call it quits. My two kids started school in New Hampshire August 26th. And I had two offers come August 28th to come play, but I hadn't skated. I had been going to soccer mom workouts classes all summer, and I was emotionally and physically done. So that's when I called it a career.
Those Zumba classes have to be a nice little rest compared to NHL off-season workouts, huh?
Well, there's some of them, like, there's a reason some of these housewives look so good. these classes are hard, but it's different than preparing to go back shoulder checking to retrieve pucks and expect to get hit by elite athletes. So I'm very content. I'm very happy these days, and life is very good.
Now that you're back in Hanover, very last, just for fun question, what's your favorite go-to restaurant in the Upper Valley? Just bring back some nostalgia for me.
Well, I don't know how often you're back now, but it's Pine.
Oh yeah.
When I'm going to NHL restaurants, it's just as good. It's in the Hanover Inn, and it's sort of the crown jewel of the Hanover area. It's by far my favorite.
Absolutely, yeah. Can't go wrong there. We're back where Zins and all those used to be.
Major upgrade.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, Kent. Husky, do you have any other questions?
No, just thanks a lot for doing this, man. I really appreciate you coming on. It's been great chatting with you, hearing your story, and congratulations on an awesome career. And it sounds like you're doing great, and we look forward to seeing you on some media. That'll be great.
Yeah, and tell your dad and your mom and your brother and both your brothers hi for me. It's been a long time since I've seen them in person, and Coach Gaudet as well. He's a great guy, so tell them all hi for me.
I absolutely will. Enjoy the weather, fellas.
We will. Have a good one. Thanks. Again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, great interview. Really enjoyed it. I hope you guys liked it. As always, you can find us both on social media. I'm on Twitter at DelliTweets. That's Deli Tweets on Twitter. You can go find me there and chirp me. Kent is on Instagram. There you go. Kent, what's yours?
Yeah, Instagram, HuskVerna, HUSK_VERNA.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can chirp anybody on Instagram, but you can definitely send direct messages, but only compliments to Husky. No chirping.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, guys. We'll see you next episode.
See you guys.